So, Father, right now we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We just come against any issues as far as in the hardware, in the connection, in the bandwidth. We just come against any distractions or failing of the conference tonight. We just forbid it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for just a perfect night, and we praise you for just guiding and directing us tonight, and let us just to be led of you, be led of the Spirit, and be in the rest tonight. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So you sound really good, Michael. So,
this, good deal.
All right. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Does anybody else have anything to pray about? Or needs prayer, or like to lift somebody up in prayer?
Yes, if I may, Tim.
Okay, Matthew.
We had a windstorm come through, and it was one shy of hurricane weather, and we lost several people in this storm. I think it was about 5 people, trees falling on them and everything. So I just want to lift up their families in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for these families, Lord, of the ones that, Lord, that you be with them, that you bring them to you, Lord, and that you will guide these families to you, Lord, that you will comfort them and bring them into your rest, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for blessing them and comforting them, the ones that have lost people and lost had damage and property damage, and just help them to get their eyes on you and not get, into judging or criticalness or anything like that, Lord. We just pray that you just use this to bring, you know, the people that you're trying to touch into your kingdom, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else would like to pray or have somebody to pray for? All right, what about any testimonies? I guess I've got a testimony. We had some beautiful weather today, and I ended up spending the whole day cleaning my garage. And at this point, my garage is actually cleaned. So it's been a long time coming, but my son and I got out there and just pretty much just went through the whole thing, and we got a whole pile of garbage to take to the dump, but I can actually walk through my garage right now, which is a feat. But the last thing I did is I swept the whole place, and I was using the air compressor and blowing stuff off, and my lungs are just kind of caked in. Just the dirt from the garage, so I'm kind of choking a little bit here, but we'll get through the night. We'll get through the night. So, all right. Anybody? I'll share a little bit. I had a situation where somebody had called me and wanted to basically get together and talk and that on Tuesday night, and I'd set up a time earlier when I was getting ready to get in contact with them, I called, and it was like, oh, now's not a good time, and just all hell broke loose, and I just saw the enemy in the situation, and just total distractions and that, so I said, all right, well, just, get back with me, and we'll get back together, so then, a couple of, maybe an hour or so later, I just started to pray. It was out of my heart for this person. I just started praying and coming against the principalities' powers, and just started praying for him and that. And it was like, very short time later, they called up and says, hey, do you have time? And I thought, well, it's getting a little late. It's getting close to the conference call. But I just knew that the Lord had opened up the door. So I said, yeah. So the bottom line is we kind of got into talking, and a lot of times the first things you're talking about really isn't the root of the situation. And you just kind of have to barrel in, and I'm just praying, asking the Lord for wisdom and stuff like that, and the Lord just started working, and truth started coming out, and we really started getting some awesome breakthrough in that, and there was a few distractions, you know, that came in and that, but all of a sudden we just got into prayer and some deliverance and a lot of things going on, and it was, I mean, the Lord just moved, and there was just some awesome, you know, awesome deliverance, awesome prayer, awesome breakthrough, revelation, knowledge. And I was really seeing, you know, this whole situation was, it had to do with family members and, you know, family. And sometimes what happens is that, you know, we have family members that really, you know, they might be tied up in, you know, the secular or the apostate system, and they really don't understand what walking in faith is. And in this situation, this person was just sharing everything that they were doing and everything that was going on in their life and that as far as in their faith walk. And really what happened was some fear got on the family members and they started coming against this person. But there was an obligation that they needed to share all these things, like, because their family, everything that's going on in their life. And what I really see is that, you know, you really can't, you know, in a case like that, you can't really, you know, go to somebody of the world and ask them for advice, or you're going to get worldly advice. Or if you, you know, have somebody that's not really walking in the faith, that really doesn't understand faith, you can't really, you know, just share everything that's going on as far as in your walk if they don't understand walking in faith. All right, I'm going to mute a few people here.
Me too.
Okay. There you are. Couldn't find you. All right, well, anyways, all right, can everybody mute? There's somebody that's not muted. I think it's this one here. All right. I think I found it. All right. So really, you just got to be weak to the weak, you know, in certain situations. But I was really seeing where sometimes, you know, people would feel obligated because they're family to just kind of share everything that's going on. And in this case, what I believe what was happening is that the family was of, you know, kind of, you know, they call themselves believers. They're kind of the apostate. But there was some fear of what, you know, was going on in their walk. And I really believe that what could happen is that, you know, that people, their family was actually praying for them, but they were praying their will, what they wanted for their lives, and not God's will. And what that is if you're praying your will on somebody else, you're praying what you want to see happen in their life, and you're trying, you know, you're coming against what they're doing, and you don't understand it. Really, what you're doing is praying your will, and that's really, you know, a form of witchcraft. And they think that they're praying the right thing because, you know, but the bottom line is they're praying their will for your life. And I think that was part of it. And, you know, and then the other thing we really got down to is what you guys were talking about last week is really the unforgiveness, you know, where, you know, if somebody's giving you advice and it doesn't line up with the word. And I've seen this in the church in a lot of different areas, you know, where, you know, I've even heard where the church has told people to get a divorce, which goes totally against the, you know, the word of God. And it's just like, you don't want to be getting counsel that doesn't line up with the word of God. So you got to be very careful who you get counsel with. And especially if it's a, you know, worldly or apostate or whatever it is. But through all this, it was just bringing a lot of confusion, and there was some, there was some unforgiveness and some judgment and a lot of different things, and that turned this person over to tormentor, and it's just all the ploys of Satan to get you into confusion and get you into, you know, judgment and stuff like that. But all in all, I mean, it was just there was some awesome deliverance, and they saw the unforgiveness and they forgave, and it was kind of awesome as far as that. So God is good and all the time. Amen. So all right, who else has got a testimony? Anything they'd like to share? Michael, here you came in.
I'd like to share.
Okay, let's. I think it was Julie first. Why don't you go ahead, Julie?
I can wait if somebody else wanted to go first. That's all right.
Okay, I think that was that Nora? Who else said they wanted to share something? Well, Julie, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Well, I had a really awesome day with the Lord, and it didn't start off that way. I just felt a lot of, I just wasn't resting. I wasn't resting. There was a lot of stuff going through my head and stuff, and I was trying to get into the Word, and it wasn't happening. So I just started praying in the Spirit for a while, and I just felt like the Lord was saying, just go for a walk. And so I do like to go walking and praying in the Spirit, so that's what I was doing. So I got my tennies on and all that and got dressed and put a headset on and went out and was, you know, listening to some music and praying in the Spirit. And I felt like I had wanted to go up this mountain, but I just sensed the Lord was saying, no, just go walk around. And before I left, I put some money in my fanny pack with me, and I traveled really light, but it was only $8, and there was already some change in the bottom of my purse. So I went walking, and this was probably around 10, 10:30 in the morning. And the Lord led me to go over walking by this it's a community college. And I'd never walked on the campus before when there's been people there, but I decided this is where the Lord was leading me. So I went over and was walking through there and went over and sat on a rock and was praying. And just it was just a beautiful day. There was not a cloud anywhere. It was just a beautiful, clear blue sky. And I was just rejoicing and praising God and just seeing all the nature around me, and the leaves are starting to turn color and stuff. And that it was just really a really beautiful day. And I just sensed the Lord was telling me to get up and leave from there and then go walking through. And I was going to go sit in, there's a, near the college, there's a conservation garden. It's a water conservation garden. I live in Southern California, so this garden is all about the local plants and stuff that they have here that don't need a lot of water. But anyhow, I go walking through there a lot, and it's free to walk in there. And so I went in there, and I was seeing all kinds of nature and stuff. I was just praising and worshiping God and just asking Him to lead me and all that. And was just wanting to, after the message last night, I was listening to Brother Michael about being a yielded vessel and all that, and the dreams that Sandy had, and asking Him to do that. And I was really just getting humble before the Lord. I'm like, well, Lord, where did you want me, you know, where do you want me? And I just sensed that He was saying, just sit here for a while. And I was just kind of waiting to see something. I thought maybe He was going to show me something or whatever. And I was just sitting there for a while and praying and just enjoying the day. And I just felt like He was saying, it's like, okay, let's go get something to eat. So I'm like, all right. So I've got this money in my pocket, and He's put it on my heart to go over to Rubio's. And I'm thinking, I was like, Lord, they're a little expensive. And I know it's like I only have $8, but I can't remember what the prices of their things are there. But I think I don't think I'm having enough money. And it's like, whatever, if that's what you're telling me to go. And I started getting reasoning again, and thinking, well, I can walk over to the other place right around the corner. It's a little bit cheaper. And I'm like, Rubio's. Hey, I'm going to Rubio's. So I go there with the intention, I know, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, and I just walked up the counter and I look at the menu, and this woman came up at the counter and said, can I help you? And I'm like, okay, yeah. It's like I've only got $8 in my pocket. I'm looking at your prices, and I'm like, I don't think I have enough money. But, and she goes, oh yeah, you got enough money. She goes, you can get this or this or that. I'm like, yeah, this is like a little a la carte taco, or they had this other, you know, something or other on there on their tortilla soup. And I'm like, yeah, that's really what I had in mind. Like, well, it's like I've only got $8. I'm like, I guess I really don't have enough to get something here. And she's like, she goes, you know what? She goes, I'm going to give you my employee discount. You get whatever you want. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. She's like, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. That's so sweet of you. And I'm just thinking, thanks God, that was all you, you know? And so I put out my money thinking her discount, like I'd get a percentage or something or whatever her cost was. And so I put my money on the counter and just thinking I could just, you know, hear whatever it costs. And she rung up a ticket, gave it to me, and handed me the ticket, and I handed her money. She's like, oh, no. I said, no. She's like, this is you get my discount, my employee meal discount. She goes, I wasn't going to eat here today anyway. So the Lord blessed me with a free lunch, and I was just like, wow, thanks, God. That was so cool of you. And I was just like overjoyed, and I'm like, wow, you really blessed me. And I just said, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I'm in a shelter right now, me and my kids, and I'm praying and believing for the Lord to provide for me for an apartment to move into so I can get my own place and get, you know, with my family. And I'm like, yeah. I said, I looked around. There's no one behind me in line. So I'm like, yeah, let's pray. So I prayed for her right there and just, you know, like, Lord, you blessed me with this woman today. And it's like, you know, whoever blesses me, you bless them. And I'm just asking you to open up the door for this woman and provide for her and getting her out of this shelter, this environment, and giving her a new start, or however I was praying for her. And I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And she's like, oh, thank you. And it was all great and everything. And then there were some things going on with my order, just on the numbers of my order. And I'm asking God about that too, about the number that was on my order. I'm always looking at numbers and stuff. But I went and I got my food and I went outside and was talking to the Lord about all that. And he was putting on my heart to give her a couple of books from the ministry. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't have them here, so I'd have to go home and get them. And I'm just thinking, it's like, well, I'll go back in and find out how late she's working. And I'm just enjoying my lunch and praising God. And she came out and she was picking up, you know, cleaning up, you know, other people's plates, whatever trash on the table. So I talked to her for a few minutes and found out where she was, you know, living at and stuff, and a little bit about her background. And it just felt led to ask her, you know, how late she was working. And she said she was working until 2:30. And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, Lord's just put on my heart. And I just told her how he led me to come in here. And it's like, and all this that had transpired with you blessing, you know, her blessing me and stuff. And I just said, the Lord's put on my heart to give you something. But I said, I don't have it here. I have to go home and get it. And I said, how late are you here? And she told me. And she goes, I'm here. I work tomorrow too. And I'm like, all right, thanks, you know. So I did go home and I got her the books. I walked back with them and she was just, you know, just overjoyed. She goes, well, you came back, you know, to use. I'm like, yeah, Lord, just put my heart to do that. And I said, you really blessed me today. And I just, Lord, put this on my heart to give these to you. And I had asked the Lord just to speak through me. So I just asked her where she was going to church and that. And she told me, and I said, well, is it, I don't know anything about that church. I said, do you believe in, you know, in the whole, you know, the whole, or your full gospel church? Kind of, oh, yeah. And I said, evidence of tongues, oh, yeah. She was just really excited about, you know, us meeting. And I was just blessed for the whole thing. So I just knew that this was of God. And I just want to give him all praise and glory. And it was really awesome to see him lead me like that, because I know it was all him. And I would like prayer about something else. When I came home from my walk, I took off my shoes and socks, and I had this big rash on my ankle. It's better now after I prayed over it, but if you would just pray for me about that too, that would just completely go away, because I think that was just an attack on the enemy after I came back. I don't know if it was a bite of an insect or spider or something, and I was out walking and sitting in the garden or whatever that's from, but I'm not under curse. I don't receive it, but I appreciate prayer for that.
Amen. Thank you. So, Father, right now, we just, it doesn't matter what causes rash. We just speak to this rash right now, and we just call it to be healed in the name of Jesus. We call the redness to go in the name of Jesus. Total restoration, total healing. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just lift up this woman that Julie ran into, Lord, and we just put our faith along with Julie that you're going to bless this woman and you're going to provide a home for her and her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that you let her there. And, Lord, we just ask you put on her heart to open up those books and to get in the truth, and that truth will set her free, Lord. And we just thank you that those books would be a blessing, and that you're going to bless her, Lord. You're going to open up the door so she can get out of that shelter and get her child into a home. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just found it really interesting, too. This is the third woman this week that the Lord has put me in contact with that is looking for a place to live in some way, shape, or form. There's that God wants to move these people. That, you know, they're looking for something or they need something. I just thought that was interesting, too. I just think it's kind of maybe a testimony of how he's moving his people around now. He's putting in people's hearts or a need to move or whatever it is, because he is moving people around right now.
Well, it's interesting you're seeing that.
Yeah.
Or he could be opening up the door for you. I mean, it's just, you're being obedient, you're being led of him, you're meeting these people, you're praying for them, and he's going to honor that. So.
Amen. I receive that. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, who else has got a testimony they'd like to share? Nora, did you, sound like you, somebody else said they wanted to share something. All right. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Any revelation? Any?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Jackie.
Did I miss the window for prayer?
No, not at all. We pray all night long.
Thank you.
We just like to open it up in prayer just in case, anybody is, we typically just open for prayer, but we can pray anytime.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Thank you. Will you pray for me, please? I've been being attacked with like flu-like symptoms and a cold yesterday, and I rebuked it and didn't receive it, and I struggled a little bit, and then I felt better, and I was good all night, and then it came back this afternoon again, and I rebuked it again, but if you would just kindly pray, and if everybody would agree, please.
Okay. So let's all put our faith together for Jackie. So, Father, right now, we just come against these false symptoms. We come against these lying symptoms right now in the name of Jesus. And Jackie's rebuked it. Jackie is healed in Jesus' name. And so we command these symptoms to get off her now. We forbid it in Jesus' name. We just call just total restoration to her body. And just these lying things that are trying to come on her, we forbid it. And we just thank you, Lord, for just filling her full of faith, filling her full of your joy and your peace. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jackie, you are healed. It's just lying symptoms.
Yeah, it's amazing because when you rebuke it and pray and stand against it, it leaves, and then it tries to come back. And, I've done the same thing today, and, it's sometimes it's difficult in the area that I'm in, because there's really no other, I have a couple sisters, semi-close, an hour away, me and Barbara, if we meet, but my neighbors or like my family, there's not really anybody to, agree with you. I don't even confess it to them, so thank you.
Amen. Well, that's what that's partly what this body is for, is just come together and pray for each other and believe for each other and sharing the victories together. So it's an awesome tool. So Father, we thank you for this time. Amen. All right, who else has got something like to share?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, my name is Miriam. I would like to share something because I really need your prayers. I come from my in-law family where I'm married. I've heard you talking of forgiveness, but this family is full of unforgiveness. They have so many bitterness in them because there was a time one of the son married a woman and they believed that she was bewitched. And so in one of the occasions, there was a misunderstanding between the brother and the sister. And there arose a fight whereby the brother was fighting with the sister. She beat the sister so much in presence of people, the parents, and it was like it was demonic because nobody was going there to assist them. Everybody was just coming and watching while they were fighting. Anybody who was trying to get closer, it's like they were getting confused. And after some days, the sister passed away. And so this family is unable to forgive this man, which is their brother or a son, because now there is the parents and they are the brothers and the sisters. So it came a time where they even disowned this brother. Unfortunately, this man could say that he's not the one who beat the sister. So he was denying everything because it was like when he was doing it, he was not on his own. He was maybe under some power. So when he came back to himself, he could not remember anything. And so he kept on denying, saying it was not his fault. Unfortunately, now the sister had died and she left one child. So when I try even to talk to them, they usually tell me that I don't understand what it means to lose a person. They tell me, like, when I talk to my husband, he tells me that you don't know how it feels to lose a sister and how it feels to take care of a young kid because he's the one who pays everything for the child. So it's so hard because I feel it. I feel they should forgive every time we read the Bible, we read everything. It's written that for us to be forgiven by God, we have to forgive each other. But in this family, there is a lot of bitterness. I try to talk to my mother-in-law and she tells me, you don't understand anything. You don't know anything. I'm the mother. I'm the one who lost a child. I'm the one who lost. So there's nothing I can do because I try to pray for them, but their hearts are hardened. They can't just let it go. I feel bad every day because, like now, my mother-in-law was very sick, and I was really feeling if she dies today, where will she go with that kind of bitterness in her heart? So this person, the one now who was fighting, She tries to come to apologize to the family, but it's like they are not ready to listen to him. Like they are always telling him to go. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. And this man is so much apologetic because he's been disowned by the whole family. The kids are suffering. No one can help them because they say that as long as he's married to that woman, they don't trust him anymore. They can't give him their money because they say that if they give him their money, he will take this money to the witch and they will be bewitched. So that's a kind of prayer. I really want you people to stand with me so that these people, God will touch them and help them let it go and forgive this man because he's so apologetic. He really wants to be forgiven. He really wants to continue with his life, but he cannot. So just pray for us. That's my prayer request to you people.
Okay. So let's put our faith together. So the only thing I can say right now is with this young man is that if you know he can ask for forgiveness, but if they don't forgive him, as long as he repents and he asks for forgiveness, I mean, between him and God, you know, is one thing, but it's really the ball is in their court. So let me do this. I'm gonna mute you, and then I'm gonna pray because we're getting some feedback. All right. So Father, we just lift up the situation in this family, Lord. And Father, right now there's hardened hearts, there's judgment, there's anger, there's criticism, there's all the because of the unforgiveness, the legion of demons have been released in this family, Lord. And Father, without your intervention, Lord, this is not good, Lord. So Father, right now, we just ask you just work in those family members right now, that you will just start softening their hearts, Lord, that you'll take those stony hearts and you'll just start softening them and making them hearts of flesh, Lord. Father, that you'll give them dreams that will convict them of their error, that it will convict them of their, the evil that they're speaking, the evil that they're feeling, Lord. Father, that we just ask you to put the fear of the Lord in them, and that they will see the criticalness and the judgment. And Lord, we just ask you just comfort this mother's heart right now, Lord, and just allow her to, get out of this bitterness that is tearing her apart, and to be able to forgive, Lord. And Father, we just this young man that is trying to repent and ask for forgiveness that Lord, we just know that he's forgiven it. You've forgiven him, Lord. You just help him to get his eyes on you and not on his family, Lord. And draw him to you in this situation. And Father, we just bind up the principalities and powers that is trying to destroy this family. And we come against whatever that demon was that was on that young man. And Lord, draw him to you, Lord. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just set him free. You just deliver him of whatever this spirit was. And we just forbid it in the name of Jesus. We bind up those demons right now in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in this family and, you're going to hear our prayers. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe with you.
All right. Yeah, I think, did she drop out?
Well,
no,
I can't tell.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
Hey, Mila. Is it Mila?
Miriam. Yeah, Miriam.
All right, so we're standing in faith with you, okay?
Okay.
And all we can do is pray for him and believe and let the Lord do it.
Yeah, that is what I would really like, because I do feel bad when I, at least, especially when I see my husband with that kind of bitterness. And it tears my heart.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So, but we'll just keep praying for him, and then we'll wait for the testimony, all right?
Okay.
All right, God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Let me say something here.
Can okay.
Hey, Mila, we just, once we pray, once we pray and we believe,
yes.
All right, now what we do is we keep thanking God because we know it's going to happen, right?
Okay.
All right, and we just rest in the knowledge that God's in control and He's working in their life. So that's what we do, right?
Okay.
Okay. God bless, girl.
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. So, all right. Anybody else have testimony or need prayer or have anything they'd like to share? Anything the Lord's been showing you? Any dreams? Anything? Just anything on your heart?
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
You know, I find it interesting that Tuesday night we talked a little bit about seeking God, waiting on God, and then, of course, Wednesday morning in the Bible study locally, that we also talked about that, waiting on God and to get into that realm where we're listening to God first thing in the mornings. And then Wednesday evening, David shared that testimony of Sandy's, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I know that's what he was sharing on. And then I read the testimony, that dream that Sandy had, and it was basically the same thing. So I suggest to everybody here and encourage everybody here is to get in the Spirit, listen to God, get your direction from God every day. And like Michael Montana was talking about Tuesday night, you know, we just need to rest when He gives us that instruction that He's going to take care of us because we're in His hands at that time. But the primary focus right now that the Lord is getting us to is to get into that spiritual realm to where we're listening to Him 24/7. And that's the reason for that is because of these things that are fixing to happen. And I just wanted to kind of encourage everybody to seek God with all your heart at this time. And make sure that you're in the place that you need to be with Him and also physically, if that's where He wants you. And that's pretty much what God has impressed upon our hearts here just in the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks or so. And I know Tim and I, you and I have talked about that as well. So that's kind of what I want to throw out there.
Okay. Yeah, that's that's something that it's kind of interesting how it has been repeating. And I've just been seeing, you know, I kind of shared the other day where I got up and got into a Bible study, and I was like, you know, just nothing was coming together. But I felt like, you know, I was kind of in something. I kind of just jumped right into it, and I was, and all of a sudden I realized that I was in works, that I didn't spend any time with the Lord. A lot of times I just try to, when I get up in the morning, I just try to, you know, just get quiet with the Lord first before anything. And I see where the enemy will put a thought in my mind to check my email or to, whatever it is. But if I don't get with the Lord right away, or like this morning, I got right into, you know, well, I got to do this. And I was actually in the Word, but I was in works in the Word. And I wasn't in the rest, and it was just kind of a, you know, it was works. And finally, I just stopped, and I just got quiet with the Lord, and I just started seeking the Lord, and just got every thought out of my head. And that's usually what I do in the morning. It's just, you know, because a lot of times, sometimes I'll wake up, I'll have a heaviness, or I'll wake up, I'll have a thought, and I'll be kind of dwelling on that, or a situation, or whatever it is, and I'll just, you know, I just have to get quiet with the Lord and just give that all to Him where I don't have a thought in my head. And I can, you know, just try to, you know, hear from the Lord and that, but the enemy's always trying to get me busy, get me distracted, get me on my email, get me on, you know, the internet, or, you know, even into works and doing a Bible study. But you know, I'm just really seeing that you know, when you can get into that rest, and the more you can stay in that rest, the more you can see when you're out of that rest. And you know, even lately, I mean, I had what happened on Tuesday. I mean, I just had an awesome breakthrough with the, you know, with the situation in prayer and deliverance and that, and it was like the next day, you know, I stirred up the enemy, and I was just dealing with all kinds of stuff, you know, and just, it was like, wow, I upset somebody. And it was the same thing as this morning. I got up, and it was hard to just press into the Lord. I just had, you know, kind of a heaviness on me or some other, you know, things that were, you know, I just couldn't let go of. And it just took a lot of pressing in to get to that point. So, you know, and I did listen to Tuesday night, and it was an awesome, you know, what Michael brought forth, and just the whole, you know, the whole thing, even what Chad brought forth, it was just, it was awesome. But I think the Lord's just trying to get us to press in and get rid of the stumbling blocks, get rid of the distractions, get rid of the, you know, the busyness, get rid of the works, and really try to, you know, get pressed into Him. So I don't know, is anybody else dealing with distractions or?
Hi, Tim.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty related. I realized the last few days that even though, like, I'd spend like an hour or so in the morning, you know, just with the Lord, just quiet or reading, and then the day keeps going. I had this to do and that to do, and I can't stop, and I have to. So today I decided that no matter what, once an hour, every hour, I would stop at least for a minute, you know, to remind myself that there's something much more important than answering my email. That's another one. You know, and I just made myself stop even for a moment, you know. And it was really good, you know, because I remembered that there's something I want more than working with something or other I'm doing, you know, a big project, you know. There's something I like better, actually. So it's kind of the same thing, you know, like getting the world just takes you, you know, it can be nonstop unless you absolutely say I'm stopping, you know, for a moment, you know, because you're never done. There's always something more to do. Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Yeah, the other thing I'm doing is I'm starting to, I never really had praise and worship songs on my phone or my MP3 player. And I'm, you know, I was always listening to Bible studies, but lately I've put more praise and worship in my car. And, cause there's times I'll get in my car and I'll turn on and, you know, it might be Christian radio, but it's really not Christian. You know, when I start really listening to what they're, you know, what they're singing about and that. And so I've been keeping the radio off, and I've got some awesome praise and worship CDs I've put together and I've gotten from other people, and I'll just put them in and I'll just crank it up, start praising the Lord. And lately I've been doing that with my phone. Is just you know, when I'm not, like when I'm cleaning the garage, I mean, it's just kind of mindless what you're doing. So if you can have, you know, praise and worship music going in the back, or a Bible study or something like that, or just, you know, just getting the word in, or just, you know, praising the Lord. And it just lifts you up. It just, I mean, especially, you know, after just, you know, because there's times I'm driving or even cleaning the garage and I'm praising the Lord, I'm singing, whatever. And it's just kind of cool. So I'm just trying to enter in as much as I can. So. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts, any ideas as far as not? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share, maybe make myself a little vulnerable with the dealings that are in my own heart right now. I recognize a scripture, and I've had many applications for this scripture, but it never really looked in the mirror and saw it in my own heart. And it starts off, I'll put it in context, it says, in Matthew 24. Then they shall deliver you up to the afflicted. They shall kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another and hate one another. And then it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I always looked at, you know, the religious systems of man, people sitting in the pews, you know, get tangled up with the world. But what I really didn't realize is that I had a certain amount of poison in my own spirit, tainted by the world. And I'll say it like this. What I mean is, like, when I see the kind of leadership that's in this land, you know, and I go, man, these wicked, twisted, you know, and I get in that mode where I just get angry in my spirit at these unspeakably wicked leaders and the tremendous twisted judgments they're making and their lack of integrity and their crooked, you know, on and on and on. I found out, you know, you don't have to be bitter against a brother to get poison in your spirit. You can be bitter against a heathen, wicked leadership. You could be and have poison get in your spirit the same way. And I recognize that we've got to be very careful, especially as we see, you know, like it says in Isaiah 59, judgment turned away backward, justice stands afar off, truth has fallen in the street, equity cannot enter, yea, truth fails, and the man that departs from evil becomes the prey. And that's more and more becoming what's happening in this land. And I recognize that what the Lord wants us to do, you know, to really see things in perspective. It's almost like when John the Beloved was on the Isle of Patmos and the Lord's dealings were with him, and he says, under the church of Ephesus and under the church of Pergamos and Thyatira. And he gives these strong exhortations for five of those seven churches. And then it says, and I heard the sound of it as a trumpet behind me saying, come up hither. And then he suddenly is looking at the throne room in heaven, looking at the sea of glass like crystal, and the worshiping angels and the glory of the majesty of the Almighty. There was no discord in heaven. At the same time, that's how it is right now with us. And when God's called us to walk in heavenly places, I know that that can sometimes be a theological position, but the actual application of it can seem a little out of reach sometimes. I know in my own heart there's sometimes I find myself very earthbound, and other times I find myself soaring with the eagles a bit. But I believe with all my heart that especially in the days that are coming, it says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear just looking at the things coming on the face of the earth. And we can't be looking with natural eyes. And I'm being challenged by the Lord right now. Get my eyes off of the stormy sea. Get my eyes off of what the wicked rulers are doing, what this wicked ISIS and the wicked Islam and all of these things. But puppets, they're on a bigger scale. When Jesus talked about the last days, he said there would be tribulation so great, such as never was since the beginning of the world or ever again shall be, and except those days would be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. Somehow, maybe we have a little romantic notion of what that looks like, but that's pretty intense when the Lord speaks like that. When he uses words to speak of the last days, he uses words like beware and watch and endure and overcome. And he uses very intense words when speaking of the last days. And I recognize that I have allowed a certain amount of bitterness in my spirit, you know, and anger in my spirit, but completely looking at things with natural eyes and with my natural perspective. I mean, some of us that have been around the mountain for a while, and we're not young, as young as we used to be, I should say, that we have seen some of the best years of this land as far as the freedoms and the opportunities, and all of a sudden to see it all taken away before our eyes. But to see things from a bigger picture, you know, when God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel, or gave him a vision, and then Daniel interpreted his dream or whatever it was, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar, thou mayest understand that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. setteth up whom he will over nations. And he'll set up the basest of men. And it says, and then that same hour was the thing fulfilled upon me. Heart of a beast was put within me. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. The heart of a beast was put within me. It grew feathers or hair and grazed like a cow for 7 years. And he said something profound at the end of that time. It says, and at the end of days, I lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and extolled and honored. No, and I honored the Most High God, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. He doeth according to his own will in the armies of heaven and among the children of men. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as less than nothing. And it says, and now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and whose ways are judgment, and they that walk in pride he is able to obey. You know, the Lord can take away the breath of any person just with a word. If he decides this time, he takes away their breath, like it says in Psalm 104, and they return to the dust. God is not intimidated by what men are doing. He doesn't delight in the strength of man, nor is he intimidated by the strength of a man or what men's plans or what... When you look in Psalm 2, and I have to be brought into perspective about this, he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And behold, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath. He will vex them in his sore displeasure. He said, I've set my own king on my holy hill Zion, and I will declare the decree that the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession, and thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. One more psalm that I think is worth looking at is 46, when he says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, and though the mountains should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. For there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. When you hear the voice of the Spirit calling you, come up hither, I believe that's what God wants us in the midst of all of the madness. If we're looking with our natural eyes, we will be bitter, we will be fearful, we will be uptight, we will be angry, we will have all kinds of fleshly reactions if we're seeing things with our natural eyes. But the Lord's calling me, and this is what he's saying to me, come up hither. Because there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. You come up hither, you'll hear the voice of the Spirit saying, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That's what's going on in the spiritual realm. All the inhabitants of the earth, Nebuchadnezzar speaks and says, are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his own will in the army of heaven and among the sons of men. No man could stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? They that walk in pride, he is able to abase. The living God can take away the breath with a word. He can speak a word, and one angel goes forth and takes out 185,000 Assyrians. God is not intimidated with what men are doing. We got wicked. I was a little blown away when I heard David say, he said, don't look at Obama as the problem. Look at him as the answer. And I went, oh, now, wait a minute. I'm going to have to sit down on this one for a while. That's just hard for my natural man. It just grinds every gear in my natural man. But you know, he said that to Nebuchadnezzar, the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men, setteth up whom he will over nations, and he'll set up the basest of men. But we've really got to guard our hearts. We've got to guard our hearts as we look at news with the things that are going on and the madness and the crazy, because it's just beginning. I mean, we're talking about birth pangs, like a lady. It gets heavier and more intense and closer together. This is what we're coming into, is to birth a new kingdom. There's going to be birth pangs, and it's going to be crazy madness, and it's going to be from one thing to another getting more and more intense and closer together. And this is what's coming on the world. But we've got to be very careful that we see things by the Spirit. We've got to be lifted up and walk in the Spirit and see what God is saying about the situation, because God is not intimidated by what men are doing. He laughs when all the kings of the earth and the nations are in one accord, gathered together against him and his anointed. He laughs at them. He laughs. It's like, you really think, are you funny little people, I made you with a word, and you think I can't take you away with a word. The Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He speaks the first word, and the next time he speaks a word, it's going to be, and the heavens will melt with fervent heat, and the elements and all the works that are therein shall be burned up, and the earth, the Lord can speak a word, and it's all gone, just like that. He wraps it all up. But God has a purpose in all of this, and I'm continually challenged, because I have been very vulnerable at times to getting a burr under my saddle blanket, and I start to get an attitude because of what I'm hearing, what's going on with the governments and with what people are doing. And meanwhile, God is laughing at the nations when they think they've got it all figured out and they think they can make a plan that it's going to outflank the living God and take his people captive. It's not going to happen. The Lord God, you look at Haman hanging on his own gallows, and the men that built the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died doing it, and the men that accused Daniel were eaten by the very lions. It doesn't always go the way they thought, and I think it's a very bad political move to take a stand against God and his people, because the Lord God has the first word and he has the last word. But I believe that God is calling us right now, and it's important. I'm being challenged with this myself, and as a confession, I share it with you, that I've been being challenged to come up hither, see things from God's perspective, see that God is on the throne, that nothing has changed with the word. When he's done, the devil, you look at people, and many of the people in the nominal church think there's a war between God and the devil. It's a laugh. You know, the Lord God, when he gets done with the devil's a vessel of wrath. He uses him to bring chastening and dealings on nations and peoples. But when the time comes, when the devil's done, he takes an angel with a great chain in one hand, Revelation 20, and he says, I saw an angel. It wasn't the great angel with the rainbow over his head and one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. It was just an angel with a great chain in one hand, latches hold on the devil, binds him up, and tosses him in the pit. I mean, it's just no fuss, no muss. When it's God's time, it's done. And so we really have to see that God is at work, and he's using all of these things. He's got many vessels of wrath. We've got one for the usurper-in-chief of this nation, but he's a vessel of wrath, and God is going to use him to bring the people of God to brokenness and humility before him. And I have to repent, and I confess my faults to you, brethren, and I ask you, pray for me, that I would keep my heart in the right place, and that I would see things from God's perspective, because in his kingdom, there is rest.
Amen. No, that's a good word. And I can totally relate. I was... I know there was a time back where the Lord showed me that most of what I saw with my eyes and heard with my ears and even tasted with my mouth was all vanity. It was just all emptiness. And I was making a lot of emotional decisions and that based on what I was seeing. And I can relate to the politics because I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh every day, and I used to watch the evening news, and I was all into, you know, the you know, I was a Republican and coming against the Democrats, and it was, I was wrapped up in politics for a while. And you know, I'd be yelling at the evening news, and I would just be, you know, voicing my opinion with other people that, you know, whoever the president was at the time and stuff like that. And really, when I came to the full knowledge, the truth sets you free, that, you know, Obama's the answer, right? That the Lord put Obama in there, and you know, even with Bush, I thought Bush was a Christian, but when I realized there's nothing Christian about him, and, you know, I was all pro-Bush and all this when I was in the church, and it was kind of funny because I had some Palestinians that rented from me, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, Bush being the Christian and all this, and when I told him he's not a Christian, there's nothing Christian about him, and, you know, Christians wouldn't start a war, And I, you know, it was an open door for me to share that. And I said, the Lord, you know, the Lord put him in there and, you know, shared some scriptures and that. When I really saw that God is sovereign, God is in control, He's got a plan, and it's none of our works are going to thwart that plan. And He wants us to enter into prayer. He wants us to be sons. He wants us to, you know, just, you know, He wants to use us, use our prayer, but we got to pray in agreement with His plan. You know, He's going to do what He's going to do with or without us, but, you know, He wants us to enter in that, and you know, He's going to hear our prayer if it, you know, if it lines up with, you know, with Him, you know, but, you know, it's just, yeah, I can totally relate to you, Michael. I just, you know, a lot of things we get pulled into by what we see and what we hear and the politics, and, you know, we voice our opinion and stuff like that. And it's the same thing. It's just, I see it around here with all the patriots, you know, where, you know, it's God and guns. And, you know, they're gonna stand, they're gonna bring back this country, and it's just with, you know, they're kind of in their deception. So, but that's an awesome word. Anybody else have a thought on that?
Yeah, Tim?
Yes, sir. Hey, Bart.
Yeah, I can relate to that, because I used to work for a company that seemed to exhibit the same kind of thing. They wound up losing the department. And watching what's happening with the country and the government and all this stuff. And the big distinction between being frustrated and then watching what's happening with the country, but from a distance. It's one thing when you have a vested interest, when you have an integral part to play, potentially, and an interest from the standpoint of that which, and I hate to use the words dependent upon, but that was at the time when I was, you know, being on the job and being paid for it. And you desire to see the success of what you are involved with. And you put your hopes, you put your identity with what you would hope to be the success of that which you're involved with. And not have it go that way and be disappointed and be caught up with with that disappointment, and contrast that by being able to see what's happening with the country, but not as dependent on it as you were, as I was, with the job that I had. And in watching the parallel, but the distinguishing aspect being dependent upon it or not dependent upon it. And what you mentioned here just a little while ago, oh, by the way, and I can so totally relate with the with the complete and thorough frustration in watching disappointment unfold right before your eyes. But like Tim, what you said here just a little while ago, using what's happening with the country as when things start to go the way that they're going now as an open door, because it's at this point when people are starting to ask questions. And it's when they ask and that door is open that what through David and what's being exhibited by Michael, Michael and the rest, God is so in control. And the book of Revelation is an end time script that will be played out so perfectly and so to the letter. It will occur, it'll roll out, and it'll be fulfilled exactly the way that God has it stated. And to know that in advance and to have a feel for how the framework will be around at that time and how God is in such complete control, and he's going to see to it that it's going to be carried out exactly that way. And to know that in advance, when the door is open, we can describe, well, what's really going on is that God really is in charge, and he's really going to see the fulfillment of what was already pre-written. It's really going to go to the book of Revelations, and therefore, through that open door, expose the listener to the to an alternative viewpoint, that without the trouble going on now, that door might not ever open. Just like when David would say, unless the hard times come, boy, they're just not going to even begin to look to see if God is involved or has anything to say, or if anything can be looked into to change the individual's life circumstance that's under duress because of the hard times coming on the scene.
Amen. And that's, you know, that's really when you understand that God is in control of everything and he knows the end from the beginning. And that's something that most of the church doesn't understand. And they think that, you know, Satan's got as much power that is, you know, as God, and, you know, God, you know, Satan won this one, but God's going to win the next one or whatever it is. They don't see that's all part of his plan. And, you know, even if the president they don't want gets in, and, you know, it's like, oh, no, we didn't pray enough or whatever it is. But they don't see that God is sovereign. He puts all the kings in. And he's got a plan for this whole thing, but that's true. We can get pulled in.
But I can totally relate from the standpoint of you want to see the country be successful. You want to see the country go the right way. Things that are increasingly what appear to us to be obvious and not being pursued or not being, you know, carried out, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, that which could protect the country. And just so, and watch it go the way that it seems to be going. And you want, boy, if they could just, you know, steer it around, right the ship, and everything would be great. And you'd want to see that. You'd want to see, you know, people enjoy the success and have an emotional sense that things are good, going the right way, and it's all for the improvement of everybody's lives. But in a world of darkness, that's not going to ultimately be in their best interest. Ironically,
that's true.
Hey, Tim?
Yes, sir.
You know, we all have been patriots in the past, I suppose. But if we put this thing in perspective, if God does not bring judgment upon this country, how many lives are going to be eternally lost because he did not do that? And we had a president in there that was bringing peace and prosperity and all of that stuff. And that's what I have to do every now and then. I just have to kick myself, you know, because, we all grew up loving this country because this is where we live. But then when we became Christians, we're now under God's reign. And we have to bring ourselves back into spiritual reality to the fact that if God does not bring judgment through his servant, Obama, that a lot of people would lose their spiritual life because of peace and prosperity. So that's what I have to do at times, and I understand where everybody's coming from. You know, I served in the military as well back during the 60s, and I understand patriotism. And it's hard to watch a country that you've loved all these many years go down the tubes, like Michael Montana was talking about. It sometimes it does. It brings an anger at times at the things that are being done. But then we have to just drop back and say, okay, God's doing this to bring many, many people into the kingdom, and that's kind of what I have to do at times as for myself, if that makes any kind of sense.
You know, one more comment, Michael and Tim, and that's that the Lord said, if you were of this world, the world would love its own, but because I've called you out of this world, you'll be hated by this world. Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. We're sent as ambassadors. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so I send you. We're coming from another kingdom, and you talk about destroying the earth. Man's destroying it, but God's going to finish the job. He's going to destroy it once and for all and melt the whole thing down. So, I mean, the Lord doesn't have big plans for the earth in a long-term vision. Yeah, this is the grounds, our training grounds, and the grounds with which souls of men are established in either heaven or hell and in eternal life or in eternal destruction. This is we have one run at it right now, but as far as the earth, we better not set our heart on it because it's not going to be around very long. The Lord says, I create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In the meantime, we're ambassadors from another kingdom. We're not even of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I would not be delivered hence. And, you know, Jesus made it clear, this is not my kingdom. I'm not going to fight for it.
Well, I always liked, Michael, when you brought out the fact that we don't know who the remnant is. The only time that you're going to know when the remnant is when the smoke clears. Now, that was a profound statement, if there was ever a profound statement. But you're right. This is not our kingdom.
Well, the lady at the material store, you know, they buy the very last piece of cloth left on the whole roll is called the remnant. And when everything else is gone, that's what's left. And that's, right now, we got a lot of people that think they're part of the remnant that haven't even, they melted the smell of smoke, you know. C.T. Studd, years ago, he was a missionary that spent 20 years in India, 20 years in Africa, 20 years in China. He was quite a firebrand. But he had wrote a book called The Chocolate Soldier, and it's you can look it up, I think, on the internet and read it. It's the funniest thing, but he says, a true Christian is a hero. He's in a time of peace, he's like a caged lion pacing back and forth, you know. But he said that the other Christians are bonbons. They melt in the water. And they come apart in the smoke and the fire, he said, and they're terrified of suffering and death, who the true Christian counts his bosom friends. He says a true Christian is a hero, par excellence. You know, and but this, you could read it on the internet, I'm sure, but it's called The Chocolate Soldier by C.T. Studd. Pretty amazing.
So when the heat's turned up, they just melt. So that's good.
Yeah, I've read some of his quotes, C.T. Studd, and he was quite the he had some good quotations, funny quotations.
All right, does anyone else have thoughts as far as on what we're talking about?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I was just thinking that the stand that we should maybe be taking is actually written in Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now that neck is in verse 3. And the next time you see that neck, it's all the way down in 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. And we have to be sometimes the voice of reason when all this is going on around us, and look for those people who might want to hear that reason. And, you know, well, for that mercy, you know, you can always read up on it in Psalm 136. And, you know, it's like this bind is together, you know. They want to cast off these cords of mercy and truth, and we have it bound to us, and this binding we want more of, and we have to stand in that and give it to where you can. And I always think about Proverbs 3 and this verse, and how you go from 3 all the way to 22, and there's other stuff in there, you know, that that speaks about end time too, about the verse 25 there. But could it be that this is a chronological order of things, this so that we could maybe bring this mercy and truth to the people so that 25 might not happen to as many, and some may repent. Anyway, that's, you know, someone told me once, read a proverb a day, there's 31 months days in a month, so it's just sometimes they... I have that one of those in there, number 9 there. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, that's in my kitchen, you know. So you get some food there. It's just on the piece of paper on the wall. Anyway. It's just like you can go verse after verse there, right up to that 22nd one, and it's kind of neat how it's going from that mercy and truth to, you know, that's the Lord there, isn't that truth, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we have to expel that to others. As for Obama, I was watching a little video of him in the round room there he's in, and there was this little toddler he was playing with. So, you know, it gives you a different view of him. And, you know, you have the Democrats and the Republicans, but up here we have conservatives and liberals in Canada, and not the right-wing Christians usually don't like the liberals, and they're in office now because we've got a new prime minister, and it's the son of a former Prime Minister Trudeau, and you know, he's got a young family there, and you sort of have to look at that kind of stuff. You know, he's got some little toddlers there, and that sort of makes the news. And you know, and you gotta realize that these people too want to get to heaven too. Anyway, they just don't know. I always wonder if people are just in ignorance when it comes to things, or do they just not want to hear the, well, you know, like it not being pre-tribulation rapture, or being put under the law of tithing, or even the law of what they call a Sabbath. And you know, if it was that way, you know, you'd just have to wait till Sunday, and you wouldn't. if you read it that way, in Hebrews chapter 4, you wouldn't have any problem entering rest, because you would only have to go to Sunday or Saturday, whatever. But anyway, that's all I have to say, is that mercy and truth, divine yourself with that, and it's hard.
No, it's really, most of the world is deceived, because the deceiver is the, you know, it's really the king of this world, and they're not selling out to the Lord, because the world has just got its draw. But the interesting things is that, you know, I know some believers that have kids that aren't really walking with the Lord, and they see what's going on in the world, and they know something is up. So there's a lot of people out there that know something's going on. I mean, they're seeing the weather, they're seeing the what's going on with ISIS and what's going on in Paris, and they're seeing all this disruption in the world and how it's getting, you know, waxed worser, you know. And they know something's up. So the Lord is, I mean, even through all this, people are starting to see that, you know, things aren't, you know, America's fallen, and, you know, just the direction we're going in and all that, that, you know, they're starting to question. And, you know, so when the shaking comes, that's where the, you know, the great revival is going to be, is because all these people that are actually seeing, they just don't know what to do with what they're seeing right now. So, and most people you talk to, are we in end times? Oh, yeah, we're in end times. I mean, it's just everybody believes we're in end times. If they're Baptists or if they're, you know, whatever their denomination, most believe that we're in end times right now. So it's, God's got a plan. We just have to see how this whole thing plays out. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on the subject?
I do.
Okay.
I was thinking about something recently too, regarding the whole patriotism and stuff, and the church I was sitting in before I came out was very patriotic, very much God and country, and they had the best fireworks display on the 4th of July inside, you can imagine, and they were very much that way. And I just was thinking about, recently the Lord brought to my mind the first election that Obama got into office, and there is this Christian woman that I was in, that I knew from my my days before, right before I got saved, and the lifestyle I was living, and she was a Christian, and I considered myself a Christian at that time before I got saved anyhow, but you know, going back and forth in emails and stuff, and we kind of got into a heated words, opinion-wise, I guess, politically and stuff, and I God gave me the grace to not to come back and revile against some of the things she was saying. She was a Obama supporter, and I remember laying in bed just going, all these things were coming to my mind I could have said, I wanted to say, and I didn't say, but things I knew, and how I didn't come back. And then after that election and Obama won, And she sent an email to me, and it was a comic picture of Obama after he had won, and just being, it was just really, it just really got me. And it was just turning in my stomach. It was just so nauseating, but it was a comic strip of him just being lifted up like above a stadium with just all the crowds and cheers and all that stuff, and just how exalted everyone had made him. And that's what I was saying. It's like, geez Louise, that's just, you know, just exalting a man above everything. And I was just looking at that. It's like, wow, I was just so wrong. But the word she said, you know, just stayed with me. We were brought back to my remembrance and that whole thing. And it was just something to the effect is like, you know, all she said was, isn't it great? You know, this is our president, you know? And I'm like, oh man, and it was just sad. But I think the reason the Lord brought that back to me was just to, because I still have a little bit of unforgiveness in my heart about that whole thing and being caught up in that patriotism and, you know, Democrat, Republican kind of thing, and just come back and forth. I'm like, wow, I really had to repent and forgive her from the heart and really pray for her and her family, because, you know, they don't know. There is a lot of ignorance is because they do. It is so demonic. It is really evil, the whole patriotism thing, and people don't see it that way. They really don't. They're ignorant, and that's why we have to really really forgive people and understand that they don't know. They don't know what they're doing, and they don't know any different because God hasn't given them that revelation yet. You know, that's all I wanted to share about that. It's just, we're all caught up there, like Michael said.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a huge competitive spirit in that, in politics, and even in, you know, the patriotism. Our country's better than your country, and we'll die for our country, and we'll, you know, blow away innocent people for our cause or whatever it is. And it's just, it is demonic. And
it starts in school. You know, it's like, you know, in athletics, you know, it starts in school and kids to be, you know, to be the best and stuff, and being competitive, whether it be in sports or even in their class, to be the very best. I saw a picture, I just saw this picture that made me sick, about these little kids and their, you know, children, boys, they were boys, but they're bodybuilding. And I was like, that can't be real. I was hoping it wasn't real, but these little kids, like under the age of, you know, 5-6 years of old, bodybuilding. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's really sad. Really, really sad. And they get it too from their parents. They get it from their parents as well, you know. Can't help it.
Competition and vanity, right?
Amen. Yeah.
All right, anybody else? Have a thought, have a word? Well, I guess I can kind of finish up. I was sharing last week, talking about kind of walking in the light and the difference between light and darkness, and basically what the Lord will do is I'll just kind of get into a Bible study, and I'll just start, you know, just being led of him and looking up different scriptures, and he'll lead me in different areas and stuff like that. And so I'll just I'll just add something that, you know, this morning I was looking something up, and I was led into Isaiah, and it was actually talking about the is in Isaiah 14 and 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star?" And that day star is actually Lucifer. It says, "Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground that did lay low the nations? And thou says in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. And when I really started to look into this, because I was still, you know, Lord, it got me on, you know, I've just been in this study as far as looking into walking in the light and darkness. I was led to this old day star. And when I started to decipher this, it says, how did you fall from heaven, is what he's saying, which is divided, you know, which is, you know, the fallen from heaven is being divided from heaven, or, you know, cast down from heaven, or fall away from God, O day star, son of the morning. And I was seeing a star, you know, a day star is a star that was seen in the daytime. And at one time, you know, Satan or Lucifer, you know, he was one of the favored, you know, of God. And he had been enlightened, and he was walking in the light. But then explains that, you know, that morning star, I was seeing that you know, he had come into the light, and that morning star is after midnight, which is the, you know, the darkest, and it's before noon, which is the brightest. And when I looked up that Lucifer, it's, it actually means, you know, Lux or Lucis, which means light, and Pharaoh, which is to bring. And the definition for that is the planet Venus, so called for its brightness, and, or Satan. And I was seeing that he was a sun that was to bring light, but he fell from heaven and was cut down to the earth. And it says that that he did lay low the peoples. And when I looked that up, it's pretty much meant to overthrow, to weaken, or to decay the peoples. Instead of bringing light, I saw that, you know, he basically brought decay. It says, how did this fall come about? He said in his heart, which is his mind, thoughts, and understanding, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. And it was all I wills. You know, there's a lot of I wills in there. And so his mind was focused on I, or self, and will, which is his will, or self-will, and not God's will as the light. You know, he fell into star glory, you know, his own glory, the eye glory. He was no longer a star that was seen in the light, but a star giving off his own glory, and had ascended himself into outer darkness of heaven, no longer walking in the light of God. So, you know, he just, through his pride and his arrogance, the I wills, that he, you know, that was his destruction. And I was singing, you know, what Jesus said to Peter, when he said, get behind me, Satan, thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mind not the things of God, but the things of men, you know, or the things of self. You know, you're not looking after, you know, God's will. It's, you know, it's man's will. But Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I was seeing that God has a lot of stars, you know, his people that are walking in their own glory in the darkness of heaven. And Satan just created his own throne and lifted himself up above those other stars of God that were in their own glory to rule over them. He said, I will sit upon the mount of congregation. And it says, in the uttermost part of the north. And when I looked up this word north in the Hebrew, it's soft phone. It said that the definition was from hidden, that is dark, used only of the north as a quarter, and it says gloomy and unknown. So when I read that definition, I was really seeing that he positioned himself over the mount of congregation, or, you know, that mount is a mountain and the congregation is assembly. It's, you know, he had lifted himself or exalted himself above the congregation that are assembled in the uttermost parts of darkness, you know, hidden from the light of God in a gloomy or unknown place in darkness, unknown to God's truth because they can only see their own light, thinking it is God's light. And he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And he wanted to ascend himself above the clouds, or, you know, into above God, you know, and be like God as far as that. And then when I looked up that word cloud, it was ob. And it says, the definition, this is darkness or density. It's an envelope, specifically a scud cloud, which is a clay thick cloud. So it's actually like an envelope of darkness. And he was below the envelope of darkness, and has the arrogance to think he is going to ascend above it and be like God, you know, who's the Most High. But God tells it like it was, and he said that, yet thou will be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit, and because God is in control. So, hey, Michael, is there still background noise?
Yeah, there is. It sounds like you're shuffling papers or something.
All right, I'll try to be still.
Well, it's a continual thing. It's not like you're shuffling papers every now and then. I don't know what it is.
All right, let me move my microphone. Is that any better?
Yeah, I don't hear it now.
All right, so anyways, that's where the Lord took me this morning, and I was just... I was just seeking out the scriptures as far as just walking in the light, being in the light. And I was led to Isaiah 58:8. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy healing shall spring forth speedily, and the righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke that putteth forth the finger in speaking wickedly, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in darkness, and thy obscurity be as the noonday. And I was sitting in here, he's talking about taking away your yoke of pointing the finger and speaking wickedly or blaming others. That is, you know, put you under the yoke as far as in the judgment. He says that, you know, if you draw out thy soul to the hungry, you know, and satisfy the afflicted, then shall the light rise in darkness. So quit judging, and draw out the soul of the hungry as far as the, you know, just, you know, from that standpoint, and the light, you know, will rise out of darkness. And Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness and that. But he says, but put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh or the lust thereof. So So we're told to put on the armor of light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, armor is a, you know, protection for the body. It's the God's light. You know, the armor of light is God's light, which is given through Jesus Christ as our power, our authority, our protection against the enemy of darkness. When we put on Jesus and walk in the armor of light. And John 1:4 says, in him, which was God, was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness. And the darkness apprehended it not. So the men in darkness did not attain or possess light. So then he says, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which is, that's Jesus, the true light. Even as the light which lighteth every man cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to them that believed on his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So, he came to his own. They didn't, they didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. And, but it's them that believe on him and walk in his grace and truth. 1 Peter 2 says, but you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I was seeing that marvelous is something to be marveled at, something incredible that or exceeds natural power, a light that gets a person's attention and causes them to, kind of gaze or look at, that we need to, come out of that darkness and walk in his marvelous light. And I was, just really seeing the more we get Christ in us, the more we die to the world and die to our flesh and run after the Lord and seek after, the Lord, that marvelous light is going to come through us, and the world is going to see that, and they're going to see that there's something different in us, that we're going to, give off that light. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of strength in his might. It says right there that, our hearts, which is our thoughts, our minds, will be enlightened, that light will come in there, and we will know the hope of our calling as far as that, with the riches of his glory and what our inheritance is as saints. And John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that light of life is Jesus. And it is a marvelous light. And John 12:35 says, yet a little while and the light among you, walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. And I think that's, the whole thing, that the Father of light, which, was plural, lights, okay, of many lights, is creating sons of light, and that sons is plural. So, and that's the whole thing, is that, he's you know, the Father of Lights is creating sons of light, and we need to just, you know, walk in that light. So as I was just going through, you know, the different scriptures, I mean, it's just all kinds of scriptures about talking about coming out of darkness and walking in the light. And, you know, I was just seeing that light is, you know, the glory of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. I mean, there's a lot to it. And, you know, it's in the darkness, it is coming out of unforgiveness, coming out of judgment, coming out of, you know, your works, coming out of walking by the flesh and that. And, you know, as we come out of darkness and come into the light, then the Lord can, you know, will start manifesting through us. And the more we walk in obedience, the more light is going to, you know, manifest through us. And, you know, and others, the world is, you know, as we, you know, walk in that, they're going to see that. And, you know, and it's, and that's what it's all about, is manifesting, you know, from glory to glory, at the glory of Christ coming through us. So, but it was, it's a good thing. So, before we close out, does anybody else have any last prayer requests or anything else that's on their heart? Well, Father, we just thank you for this night. We just praise you for just the answered prayers as far as what you're doing in our lives. We just thank you for just the healings and all that you're manifesting in us just by walking in faith in your word. And Lord, we just praise you. We just thank you for just calling us into this light. We just thank you for just calling us out of the darkness. We thank you for just exposing any darkness that is in us, Lord. And we just praise you for all that you've done in this assembly, and just to expose your truth and allow us to walk in obedience to your truth, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just ask you to just bless everybody this week, just to guide and direct them, guide their steps, guide their path, Lord. Allow them to just press into you and to get focused in on you, and just start their days off just in your presence, quiet among you, listening and just being led of the Spirit, Lord. We just thank you for just teaching us how to walk in the rest and walk in the light. And just teach us how to, you've given us gifts, Lord. We just ask you to pour out those gifts and teach us how to walk in those gifts, Lord. And especially love, Lord, just to love one another, to walk in your agape love, to not be judgmental or critical or unforgiving towards anyone, but just to walk in just true obedient love. And we just thank you and praise you for all that, Lord. That what you're just renewing our minds and bringing us into your fullness. So Father, bless each one tonight, Lord, that's in this study tonight, and just give them just a hunger for more of you and more of your truth. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. We love you, and see you next week.